You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX, here on NPR One with KCBX News. I'm Tyler Pratt. You may have heard about a string of racially inflammatory incidents at San Luis Obispo's Cal Poly State University over the past week and a half. Most of the news stems from an incident regarding a student wearing blackface at a campus fraternity. This week, Cal Poly's president announced he was suspending all Greek life on campus indefinitely. He also hired a campus diversity specialist, enacted new diversity initiatives, and touted ones already in place. But coinciding with this announcement, apparently white supremacist propaganda is being placed around campus. One such instance was found by a Cal Poly professor Tuesday. Dr. Neil McDougall is an associate professor of agribusiness at Cal Poly. He had posters promoting diversity slashed in front of his office, as well as other racially charged material placed there. McDougall publicly posted the photos on his Facebook page. Cal Poly's president, Jeffrey Armstrong, has said he doesn't believe Cal Poly has a racist culture. But I sat down with McDougall Wednesday morning to talk about what kind of culture images like these represent. And please be advised that listeners may find portions of the following content disturbing.
Right. So, you know, I've been here 20 years, and, you know, I was really grateful that the Mustang Daily, the newspaper, came out with kind of a timeline showing how long these issues have been at Cal Poly. This is not President Armstrong's problem. This is the Cal Poly's problem. President Armstrong is the current president, so now he has a responsibility. But, you know, I've seen issues when we had the Crops House, there was the news, the Confederate flag, other issues arose. And, you know, I've lived through all these situations and hearing how people felt and seeing kind of the institutional responses. And again, any positive response is a good response, but the question is, are we keeping track of what's going on to keep these things from happening again? And so over the past week and a half, you know, it's come back. And so aside from what happened last week, I mean, the key thing was yesterday I came in the morning, I was going to use the bathroom, and there was a policeman outside of the bathroom. And later on, I asked the facilities person who had been in the bathroom what had happened, and he had told me about through the graffiti with the N-word in one of the stalls. Then I come back to my office, and my next-door office colleague kind of pointed out that outside my door, which I have a bulletin board, which I post a lot of inclusivity items, and she says, oh, did you know these things were posted on your board? And there are these, you know, pretty horrible things posted. And then a minute later, I noticed that someone had slashed one of the signs in support of undocumented students. So I don't think I was targeted as Neil McDougall, but I think that I was targeted as someone who was outwardly supporting undocumented students, supporting inclusion and diversity. And that was a little troubling, you know, because if it were just me, someone could say, oh, you know, Neil is kind of a jerk. You know, he's just kind of messing things up. But when it's someone looks at that and says, oh, here's someone who thinks differently from me and is willing to, you know, I think it's really the slashing of the sign that disturbed me. I mean, that's fundamentally a violent act. And without knowing me, without in this university environment of coming to talk to me, I mean, that's what we're about. I found that very troubling.
Can you tell me what it is what was on some of these materials?
So these materials that were posted, they have this veneer, they have this presentation of, oh, it's like scientific, because they're talking about species and subspecies. They're talking about gorillas and two subspecies, chimpanzees, you know, these metaphors of animals. And then the last part is talking about, oh, well, it says here, there is one human species and only one human subspecies according to current biological models. And I feel horrible saying this, but I'm reading it. So now you tell me, are all groups of humans in the same subspecies or even the same species? Do we have? So it's almost like they're implying, they're not saying it outright, but they're implying that, oh, if you see different groups because of skin color, blacks, are they a subspecies? And then with other images, they show, you know, these tribal Africans and astronauts. They're setting up this narrative of, oh, well, maybe these people are really different. And then another thing that was posted outside my door, they're showing these maps. And again, the implications are they look at skin tone map, and they're showing Africa as having substantially darker skin tones. And right below that is a rape map, which seems to tell the story that, oh, well, places with darker skin tones have a much higher incidence of rape. Similarly, they have an IQ map, and it shows this world map with Africa having a low IQ, and that coincides with a map right below it of a much higher incidence of intentional homicide. So these are stories that are being told implicitly, but still no less troubling, that, oh, this racial thing, it makes a difference. They're different from us. And that's, you know, I'm an intellectual. I have a PhD, and ideas are important. And this is super troubling.
These are very disturbing images presented like fact, when in fact they're just incorrect causation.
Right, right. And again, and this comes back to issues like when we talk about ideas and debate ideas, there has to be a foundation of fact or agreement of how we're going to comport ourselves. And this is why, you know, this idea of Milo Yiannopoulos coming back, it's, you know, it's one thing if he were, you know, I hate to say this, a legitimate intellectual. You know, if he's someone who's, like I said before, comes into a conversation, entertaining the possibility that as a result of that conversation, his mind and views could be changed. But that's not what he wants. He wants a show. He wants to promote his brand. So we have this another problem with branding. The university has a problem with branding, how it treats the brand. We want to protect the brand. We want to make sure people don't think bad things about Cal Poly. And so actions are being taken on that. We have Milo Yiannopoulos, whose whole lifestyle is based on having a brand and being able to garner a lot of attention and, you know, potentially earn his living that way. And I just feel, you know, branding makes sense. But if it overtakes this idea of an intellectual community, which is what the university is, it's not a vocational institution. We send out critical thinkers who succeed in their careers because they're critical thinkers. It's not because, oh, they have a Cal Poly degree and then everything's set up. If they don't leave here with good critical thinking, they will not succeed. And I would rather stake our reputation on the quality of the students that leave and their capacity to think and their capacity to always entertain the possibility that things could change, that they could change the way they think. That's what I love about our students. But when we see this kind of lack of willingness to reconsider what we've done, I find that a little troubling.
Have you spoke to any students about these? Have they come to you, or are students seen these and y'all have had a conversation about this?
Yeah, in fact, you know, I've always felt like I'm very progressive. I'm a little bit of a fish out of water in the College of Agriculture, not because I'm right and the other people are wrong, but I just come from a different background, a different point of view. I love my colleagues in the College of Agriculture, but they're a little more traditional. And I've always felt that, and as a result, students can be quite traditional too. And I've always felt that when I go into the classroom and I talk about things, number one, I want to be transparent. I want to tell them when this is my opinion and that anyone who disagrees with me, there's no judgment there, no problem. If we want to discuss, that's fine. But in general, I feel like, you know, my job is to make sure that I'm teaching them what I'm supposed to be doing, they're supposed to be learning, we're focusing on that critical thinking, and I don't want too much of a soapbox. But I teach a human relations class, an ag business personnel management class, and we spent like a day and a half talking about this because, you know, the student in question with the blackface was an agribusiness student. I had taught him. And, you know, I wanted to convey this idea that it's not like, oh, one person is making everything terrible, but there's this, not only the reality, but this perception of what is the environment, what is our community in the College of Agriculture, and then it's really up to them to not only discuss this, but also to self-reflect and say, you know, where is this all coming from? This is not one person who's inflicted all the damage by himself, but it's this kind of collective behavior, or this at least this complicity in a way, indirect or direct, that will impact them. And they even said that. They were saying, it's like, you know, when we leave Cal Poly, people will think that I'm a certain way because I came from Cal Poly, or that I'm from the College of Agriculture and I'm that way. And, you know, they're not. But the thing is, it's not about the individuals. It's about the environment. And it's an ongoing activity responsibility of not just the faculty, but of the students to say, who are we? How do we make ourselves better? How do we make ourselves a better, more accepting community?
Absolutely. One more question for you. You know, the President Armstrong has talked about free speech with the student and not disciplining students. Do you have any thoughts about this, about how this works on a campus? They can't really discipline anybody, but students are very concerned that free speech and hate speech don't really connect.
Right. Well, I think part of this is, you know, we've never had a conversation as to what constitutes free speech, hate speech, or speech of violence. I mean, we have faculty members. I have a very good friend of mine, Lisa Kawamura, who has researched this stuff. She works with us. She's a speech, she teaches speech classes. And her expertise that she's communicated to me is that, you know, there's some different categories of when she mentioned this idea of speech that incites violence, that someone going out in blackface, even though they might be protected from doing certain things, if that's a potential incitement to violence, then there's a problem there. That's not protected. If you wear a swastika armband, that is a potential incitement to violence. So, and I think, like I said, we've not had a conversation as a community about this. My sense is that when President Armstrong communicates these ideas, he said, well, I've spoken to the lawyers and they've told me this, so this is kind of what our constraints are. And, you know, our whole legal system is not based on one lawyer making a decision that answers for everything. I mean, that's what the court system is all about. It's a conversation, right? And I think what we haven't had is a conversation as to, number one, where does this lie in terms of the rights? But even more importantly, we haven't had that conversation as a community, what do we find acceptable? As a community, we might be able to say, you know, I can't keep this person from saying this thing, but as a community, we can stand up and say, that's not okay, right? And I think President Armstrong has lost that opportunity to date to kind of stand up and say how he feels personally in a way that's compelling. I have a sense that he feels like he represents all people at Cal Poly, and that constrains him from sharing how he feels deeply. And I know in some of these messages he kind of conveys that, but it gets lost in this kind of, you know, I have no idea if he's writing his own stuff. You know, it feels like it's this marketing-based, you know, customer-tested message that, well, we want to make sure we say something that's not wrong, but will not upset people. And again, in an intellectual, you know, President Armstrong is the ostensible intellectual leader of this university. And if he's not willing to stand up and say unpopular things, if he's not willing to stand up and say, you know, we might miss out on $1 million donation here, but this needs to be said. And I just don't think we're there yet. We can. I mean, everyone can change. I can change. President Armstrong can change. But we have to start taking steps now that seem more like leadership and less like marketing.